everyone. This is Born with an Identity Crisis. My name is Nora. I'm your host. And today we have a very dear friend of mine who is a guest. And it's Rebecca.
Hello.
Okay. I'm so happy to be here. My name is Rebecca. I'm a second year undergraduate in politics and international relations. And I'm French and Indian, but I've lived in Italy for a few years before coming to London.
So, Rebecca, you brought with us a song.
Exactly. I actually made an entire playlist for this because I'm very indecisive in general. And I feel like what creates my culture is the melting pot of music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what's most important for me, and I wanted to share a song from one of my favorite movies called Les Demoiselles de Rochefort, which means The Ladies of Rochefort, which is like this city in France. And it's not my favorite song, but this one is one that truly speaks about not having a proper town, but life being your town in mm-hmm. some kind of way. So it's kind of, it's titled Nous voyageons de ville en ville, which means we travel from town to town. I'm going to share a few lyrics from the song. So, should I say in French or in English? I'm going to say both. Notre vie, c'est le vent du large, l'odeur du pain, le goût du vin, le soleil pâle des matins, le soleil noir des soirs d'orage. Which means, we live for love, the blowing breeze, the smell of bread, the taste of wine, the golden sky, the growing vine.
Sounds very, very French to me, if I hear that.
Yeah, so this song is really about bounding around and being free.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what they say, basically. We make our way from here to there.
Mm-hmm.
Without a home, without a care.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say the entire song at one point. Like, I cannot stop. Michel Legrand is a genius. And if you haven't seen this movie, it's a great introduction to French culture.
Great. I mean, I think this all like already kind of shows your interests and how you are as a person. You're a very creative and like film and musically driven person. And also a bit, you know, about your culture. And as Rebecca said, Rebecca is French and Indian, but you lived in Italy. How many years did you live in Italy?
I think 4. Yeah, 4 years.
And so before that, you were in France.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so how was it growing up in France, knowing that you have two different identities?
I grew up surrounded by French and Indian culture. My mom made a real point of really showing us the greatest French and Indian movies, a lot of music, a lot of good food, and I feel very blessed for having grown up in such various and interesting culture. And for me, nationalities is not very much about where I live, but truly how you explore what it means to be French and what it means to be Indian.
Mm. And so what parent, which side of the parent was Indian?
It's my mom's side. So my grandpa is Indian, born in Delhi. And he decided at our age to move, to go and live in Germany at first. And sadly, I don't know much about his years there. But he then lived in the US, in France, and he decided to learn French, not when he met his French wife, but when me and my sister were born. So I was very young and did not speak English very well, but I could understand everything my grandpa said, because he talked to us in English and we would answer in French.
Right. But so it sounds like it's already your mom who is half-half,
mm-hmm.
and then grew up in France, and then you're kind of the second generation of that. And, I mean, based on what your mom maybe has told you, how do you think your experience is kind of different than hers?
Oh, it's completely different, because she's half-half, and she's white, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she's had so many weird experiences of, you know, being a white Indian girl and just being with her dad in the street and people, like, thinking weird things, you know, that they were together or something. Just so odd. Many people don't even want to recognize that she's his daughter. It's such a weird thing. And but she had the chance to live in India for the first few years of her life as well. Went to school there, so she spoke Hindi. She still does.
So as a kid for you, knowing that your mom was half-half, did you at any point accept that and feel like that was also a part of you, or did you more feel like it was a part of your mom? And I know we've talked about this before, and you've mentioned to me that for many years you didn't even acknowledge the fact that you're Indian.
Yeah, I felt it was truly coming to London that I'm more and more comfortable in my Indianness in some way. I used to just introduce myself as French, but now I say French and Indian because here I really feel like I reconnected with the culture, and I had the chance to do my OCI as well, which is like the citizenship in India if you don't live there but you're Indian, and had it's like a visa basically.
Yeah,
you can go there. I can go there whenever I want without having to do my visa, and it's great. So I got to travel a little bit in India, reconnect with all, like, my roots, my family. And even I live in a neighborhood in London where it's a lot of Bangladeshi, and I don't know, I just feel connected to my culture a little bit more. I started learning Hindi, which I'm so bad. I'm at the basics, but now I can read and write, so that's already a start. So when I traveled a bit in India, I could read everything around me, but I didn't know what it meant, you know. It's a very
but hey, that's, you know, already progress. Yeah, and
exactly.
That's cool.
I can read like Nehru Road, that I know what it means.
Like, hey, I know this road.
Exactly.
And yeah, I mean, how much of a connection did you have with India itself, you know, aside from the culture and the food? Like, how many times were you actually in India? Because your grandfather, he moved here, he moved to France.
Yeah.
So when you visited him in France, right?
Yeah, he didn't really move to France. He was still in Delhi, but he would come and visit very often.
Okay.
So I have this memory of him arriving with all the smells of India and all the food of India. It was such a great experience. And, you know, him bringing mangoes and, like, my favorite snacks, like Katamita. That's, like, I have to make you try this. I have to make you try everything. I did not visit India a lot. I think I've been there 4 or 5 times, and the 4 last times were in the past few years, you know. I only went once in 2013, but
yeah.
I felt... we went there for a few weeks, and I got to meet all my family there, which I had never met, all my uncles, my cousins, but I truly felt like I already knew them. So that was great.
So you, in no way, did you feel perhaps afraid or scared of meeting them, or feel like an outsider when you met them?
I was a very shy kid.
Mm-hmm.
Very shy. A bit intimidated by them, and also because I didn't speak English very well.
Yeah,
you know,
also no Hindi
and no Hindi. But my English was so poor, and I really weirdly started learning English properly when I moved to Italy, because my friends who all speak in English together, not even Italian, they arrived,
right.
They were speaking in English together.
Yeah.
Because I was at a French school. But all the kids were Italian.
And we know how it is for French people to learn English.
Exactly. But thankfully, I don't know. I don't have a French accent. So that's a first. Like, that's the first step, I guess. But an international school accent,
yeah.
I've been told.
No, it's funny because when I met you the first time, and you know, I'm pretty good with the accent. I couldn't detect your accent. But the fact that in class you spoke so much about France, I was like, she must be French. Because why else is she mentioning France, you know, and giving examples of France?
French politics are my thing. Whereas I feel also that I don't know enough about Indian politics and history. And it's a process. I'm still learning a lot. And I'm glad to be at LC for that.
No, and that's really cool that, you know, you want to, like, learn Hindi now. And and it sounds like your childhood was very much having some, you know, like, social and cultural connection to India itself. And as you mentioned, the food and the music and the movies. And I think, you know, you don't have to understand necessarily the politics or the history or some of the other elements, because whatever connection you have to a country is your own, you know. And how you learn about a country is very, very different. So it does sound like your mom, as you said, made a big effort in bringing that into the household.
Plus, I have an Indian middle name.
Oh, nice.
And an Indian last name, which are truly important for me. And it's only this year that I started, like, using my middle name more.
Mm-hmm.
It's Sonali. It means golden, and I feel very close to it. And I'm very proud to be a Kumar as well.
That's so cool, though. So you don't have the last name of your dad?
I do. I have both.
Oh, okay.
So just like me. French, yeah.
Hey.
Glad to be born in 2004. It's, yeah, the year where finally you could use your dad and your mom's name.
Mm.
But my sister doesn't have that chance, but she has an Indian first name, so...
Okay, yeah. So how was it with your, like, speaking more about the home and relationship with your siblings and maybe also your dad, like, how was the fact of, like, having different identities in the household? Like, what was the impression? What was the experience?
I mean, my parents are divorced, so... When I was with my dad, it was very much French.
Yeah.
But he still embraces the Indian culture a lot, and he's very curious. He loves to cook, so he made us a lot of Indian food as well. But it was truly my mom's house that it was just embracing a lot of cultures, also have Jewish roots, and a Danish family on one part of the family. I really love being multicultural, and I feel like every also birthday party is where I would like try to show my friends how cool it is to have a multicultural background.
Mm-hmm.
And we would organize you know, Indian dinners, because at my school there was like no Indian kids whatsoever.
Yeah, where do you grow up in France?
I grew up in Paris.
I mean, you would think Paris is a bit multicultural, you know?
I feel like it's just at my school. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah.
I remember once when I arrived at this new school, I was 6, and I told everyone, I'm doing like an Indian themed birthday party. And one of my friends thought that it was like Indian American.
Oh, like Native American.
Yeah, because she couldn't understand that I was white yet Indian.
Yeah.
But I don't look Indian American either, but you know. So she showed up with a completely different costume. It was really funny.
Okay. Yeah. Those.
Yeah, I always love like wearing saris and embracing Indian fashion. I like, look at me, I always have Indian clothes, Indian bags, Indian everything, cause, and French as well, but just trying to mix both together, because it's, you know, who I am, even though, yeah.
And I think that kind of leads into my other question I had about how it was with your friends and how it was at school. I mean, it sounds like you embraced it, but did you ever have, you know, confrontations other than people being like, well, you're white, you can't be Indian? But how was that relationship when you were in contact with, like, other people, such as friends or in the school environment before you, for example, moved to Italy?
I feel like people are very understanding and people are very curious, so I never really had a problem with that, I guess. Weirdly, I just have the, you know, the kind of mean girls comment of, like, oh, if you're for Africa, why are you white? You know?
Yeah.
That quote.
Okay.
But in an...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Men, mean girls. I was like, I thought you were talking about, like, mean, like, a group of mean girls.
No, no,
like,
no. The movie, the movie.
Oh, yeah, the movie. Iconic quote. And so, I mean, you know, as you said, as a kid you felt more French, which just, it kind of makes sense because you grow up in the very, you know, French-dominating environment. I mean, you know, the fact that your mom wanted to, you know, make sure that the Indian culture was also a part of your life, which I think that's already cool, and that can be sometimes be very hard, but... As one often says, the culture or the nationality in the country where you live kind of, like, takes a bit over. And I think the thing about France, which is also very similar to, like, the United Kingdom, is the fact that there's so many different cultural identities or ethnicities, and you all kind of, you know, decide, or all kind of, like, the middle ground is you're French, you know? And yeah, I think that makes it kind of also easier than other cultures where it's very, like, homogeneous and you have to look a certain way or something. I think that's kind of, like, the beauty, you know, of France or of the US or the UK or anywhere else.
Yeah, definitely. And weirdly, I feel like I felt that more in Italy, like, the different cultures, like, different, like... according to the region you're in,
mm-hmm.
than in France.
That's interesting.
Because, like, being in Paris, there are already people from, like, everywhere around France.
Yeah.
And I don't know, my grandma's from, like, not Rochefort, but close, like, close to La Rochelle. And even, like, it's not close to Paris, so I never felt, like, truly, like, a difference in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
But in Florence, it was only Florentine people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the second you go to another region, you can feel the difference in how they speak, what they eat, what they do. I don't know. Whereas in Paris, it was just already such a melting pot. I didn't really feel any, like, difference.
That's so interesting because... I feel like a lot of French people, if they listen to this, they'll be like, there are so many differences between, you know, North and South, or Paris and the rest of the country, which they are, but interesting that you feel
used
feel...
to it. You feel used to it from since you're a kid, mm-hmm. you know? You meet people from Marseille, and you go there often, and I don't know, I didn't feel like... You're used to it very early on.
Yeah.
Whereas in Italy, it felt like truly, like... encountering complete different culture every time I moved.
So how old were you when you moved to Italy?
I was 15.
And how was that? Because it definitely impacted you.
Oh, definitely. I did not want to move whatsoever. I love France. I love Paris. And it was very, like, heartbreaking to go to a complete different country, did not speak the language... did not get the culture. I mean, my grandpa lived in Venice,
mm-hmm.
part-time. So I had the chance to go to Italy, like, most summers in Venice. But my language skills stopped at knowing how to order food, you know? which I think they still are there, you know? I haven't progressed much. but I went to French high school there, thankfully.
In Florence?
In Florence.
Right.
But there weren't many French there. There were two or three.
Mm-hmm.
In my level, it was on, like, 20 people. So, Florence is an incredible city. And I had the chance to move there, but at the time, I didn't see it like that at all. Because Paris was, like, so much, like, so superior in every kind of way.
But it was your home.
Exactly.
For
it was my
years,
home.
You know?
And I didn't get to go back to France often when I lived there because COVID hit. And I felt like I was away from most of my family. No, it was very difficult, you know?
Yeah. And how was it to be in a, you know, environment such as an international school and getting to know other people and, as you said, feeling way more multicultural in the environment as compared to Paris or the school you went to in Paris?
Well, now I'm so thankful I went there because I would not be the same person right now. I feel like the Parisian groups, you know, are very, I don't know, like, I would have been such a different person. I think I would have been more shy, more closed, I don't know, whereas going to an international school, I met people that really got, like, took me out of my shell, you know?
Yeah.
My best friends, they're Russian, Italian, Thai, and I don't know, I feel like they showed me so many things, and I feel like if I had stayed in Paris, it would just been, French people.
Yeah.
And I would not have opened up as much as I did.
And, I mean, as you say, in some sense, you were kind of, like, you know, scared and not wanting to move away, which is understandable since it's an environment that you are so familiar with. How was it? I mean, you say all the positive things which have come out of it, which is really cool, and that's most of the cases of people I know or have heard from. But how did it affect your identity and perhaps, you know, bringing it back to the actual title of the podcast? Did it kind of create an identity crisis, or do you think you already had that crisis before moving to Italy?
I don't think I had a crisis before moving to Italy at all. I was very, very French and embracing the Indian culture, but did not feel Indian whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I feel like when I moved to Italy, it kind of shook my world a little bit.
Mm.
And I did not know who I was at the time. I feel like it's those formative years, you know?
Yeah.
You start being a teenager. You don't really know. You have to find yourself. How do you define yourself, your identity? And in Florence, I was completely lost as to who I was. And I feel like that became even worse when I moved to London for the first year.
Oh, really?
So, I was lost, like, completely. But, weirdly, the second year, it's when I started really finding who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And embracing my identity in a way that I had never before. And being comfortable in being who I am, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel it just comes from confidence.
It takes time, you know?
That I didn't have before.
Mm.
And meeting people who are similar to you. And I met someone who was same as me, a quarter Indian a few weeks ago, and white as well. And he did not embrace this part of his identity
mm-hmm.
at all.
Right.
He only told me he was also quarter Indian when I said it myself.
Oh.
And I realized I'm so glad I'm comfortable in introducing myself as Indian. It really made me so happy that I found this confidence in it.
Yeah, and I mean, for some people, it's a part of them, and, you know, they acknowledge it, and I think a lot of them, for them, is just so far away, perhaps, and because maybe they didn't get the chance, as you did, you know, to have some kind of connection and to, like, visit the country and so on, and that's why, you know, with these conversations and also with other conversations, I've just realized that just because you are something, half something, a quarter something, but you have no connection to it whatsoever, it's understandable why you wouldn't really see it as part of your identity, you know? But it's really cool that you do feel like it is part of your identity, you know? And And I think, yeah, one should have pride in it. And I agree, like, confidence is super important. And the moment you acknowledge it to the outside world, it's, I think, also easier and easier to accept, yeah, that is who I am.
Yeah. Because first year, arriving at LSC, I also had a full-on identity crisis. Because I first hung out with a lot of French people here.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized I didn't feel French anymore.
After living in Italy.
Yeah. I did not feel that connection to the Parisian people I met here. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
I felt I did not feel welcome with them whatsoever. I felt like, yeah, they were very closed, very judgmental. And now when I think about it, it just probably that group that I met, and maybe. I cannot do like this full on generalization, because now I did meet some incredible French people here at LSC.
But that must have been really hard hitting.
Exactly.
The fact that, you know, you were gone for 4 years and you were like, yeah, great, I'm in a new environment, I'm gonna reconnect with people from Paris, or like meet new people from Paris, and you feel like you have something that connects you, and then it just isn't there for some reason.
It was so frustrating.
Yeah.
It was so frustrating, and I did not try to hang out with like the Italian society at that time, because I felt like, oh, if I'm not welcome at the French society, I don't feel welcome there.
Yeah.
Then I'm never gonna feel welcome at the Italian one or the Indian one, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's at that point that I really could not fathom, like, what do I do?
Mm.
Like, who am I?
Crisis!
Exactly! But in the second year, I made the effort also to go to the Italian society. And, oh my god, they're incredible. I really love them. They're very welcoming. And I met one of my best friends there. And weirdly, she's not even Italian.
What?
She just went to this society because she thought, oh, great, I'm going to meet some interesting people there.
Love that.
So I recommend, like, everyone go to their events. They're very welcoming of people from any culture. Even if you don't speak Italian, she does not. So, really. Whereas I've made some non-French people go with me to French society, and they did not feel welcome whatsoever.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's something that we actually wanted to discuss in the last episode, but then we didn't really get a chance to, the fact of these national societies at LSC and how they're very, like, differ opinions and perspectives on it. Like, some are saying they are very, you know, closed-minded, and if you don't speak the language or if you don't look a certain way, it can feel very excluding, and then often people are there to, you know, meet people who speak their language or reconnect with someone from their home country. But then I've also heard that others are really, like, open and welcoming, and my experience is only really with the Nordic society, which I think from the get-go, it's already a bit more open than national society, since it's, like, all the Nordic countries. And even though some of the Nordic countries are very similar, they still differ. But even then, like, every time at an event, I see most people are, like, blonde. And I'm like, that just shows how homogeneous we are, like, as these countries, you know? But then other societies, which, I don't know if we should name drop them or not, I haven't felt as comfortable comfortable in who I am as myself and who and like how I express myself.
But I would think that's maybe, you know, because we don't feel secure in our nationality, you know, or something like that. But
yeah,
actually I'm as comfortable as being French in first year and second year. It's still like,
yeah, it's, for me, it's not that I'm not secure. It's the fact that we differ from them, you know? It's the fact that, at least in my case, I grew up with two different ones in another country. You grew up also with two different ones. Move to another place, get opened up as well. It's the fact that we have those experiences which just make us have a different worldview. And, of course, there are people who are from one country and then they grow up in other different places, which also makes them think a different way. And I think it's that. I think that's the case. And I think most of these people, they have it, I don't want to say easier, but they just have one nationality, one language, they live in one country. And I guess that's why maybe it's easier for them to be part of national societies than it is for us, for example.
Yeah, perhaps. But why would I feel more comfortable in the Italian one than the French one?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, that sounds like, I don't want to say an exception, but that sounds like a good case, you know, because I do believe these national societies, on the one side, they should be a place for people to reconnect from their home country and be able to meet people, but also just, like, you know, speak in your language or just share cultural things. But also for anyone who's curious or someone who's learning the language or someone who wants to work in that country or something, you know?
No, but I did meet some incredible people at the French Society.
Yeah.
Really, I did. There's great personalities, great hearts, truly. It's just, I feel like maybe they should do more, like, an opening to other cultures as well, you know?
Yeah, no, it's, I went to a German Society event last week, which was a talk, and I think most people in the room were actually German-speaking, but there were a couple who weren't, and it was, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was funny because they greeted everyone and said hello in German, but then they switched to English and the whole conversation, whole panel discussion was in English, while sometimes they would just, like, sprinkle in some German words because they didn't know the English equivalent of it. And the whole, like, group of people who were there, they just started laughing and thought it was very funny, you know, as, like, you know, they just suddenly said Lastenfahrrad, which means a type of bike. And I was just thinking this whole time, what about the people in this room who don't speak German and who don't understand this word or who don't understand this reference? And I think it's something that most people just don't notice or don't realize or don't think about if they aren't in that position of, you know, not being included.
I completely agree.
I like asking the question of the future, you know, because we are uni students and some of us have to think of what we want to do with our life, and that doesn't have to mean only about, you know, what kind of field you want to work in, but also, like, where you can possibly see yourself working or living in. And after, well, being away from France for a couple of years, do you feel like yourself returning to Paris perhaps, or are you just comfortable with the fact that you can explore who you are in other places, or do you have any ideas on that question?
I think I will spend a lot of time in London for sure, because I really feel like this year I found my place here and I found my people. But I would like to go back to Paris, definitely.
Yeah.
Because I have my best friends there. And it's just, I know that it's where I find beauty. Like, beauty is there. It's my home.
Yeah.
My mom is moving back to Paris this year, which is going to be great because really I've missed going there all the time, you know. My dad is there, but it's a bit difficult staying at his. Yeah, because for my sister, it's like we're a big family and it's a bit small. But I feel like I need to travel a little bit as well. Because my dream is to be a photographer. And that dream comprises, like, traveling.
Exploring different places.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exploring more of India. Definitely. I want to spend more time there, see my family. I have my little cousin that I really want to see very soon, but mainly I discovered the, like, so many gorgeous places there, and I really want to take pictures of the city and the people in Delhi and in Agra and in Jaipur, everywhere. Yeah. But I would love also to go to New York, where my grandpa lived in the 60s, where I feel like I have my roots there, weirdly. I feel like, I don't know, maybe I lived there in a past life. I don't know. But same, a city where you can find people from all over the world and have your French, Italian, Indian roots there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's something I very much relate to. Like, I have the sense of, like, wanting to live in Denmark, you know, for a certain time, because I want to somehow feel maybe a bit more connected to my Danish side. But then again, I would live in Copenhagen, which is, of course, more international than the rest of the country, but still is very limited. But yeah. I also, like, I don't really feel like I could live in a city which is, like, mainly predominant of one nationality, you know? Yeah, it would feel, like, untrue to what I want or what I think is important. And, yeah, but I feel like, again, every capital city is quite diverse, but there some are more diverse than others.
Yeah, definitely. That's why we're lucky with London, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's strange because, you know, now I've lived here for a couple of months now, but, like, I appreciate London for a lot of things, and I can see myself maybe live here one or two more years, but in the long term, I don't think I could. It's not the people, I think it's just the city itself, the way it's constructed, and the very, like, stressful life that one has here, and it doesn't really feel like I am, you know how in French you say, I work to live, right?
Yeah.
And then other places is like, I live to work. That's very much the American mindset.
Yeah.
And now I haven't worked yet, but I want to work or live somewhere where I can really have my work life as well as my life, you know, if you know what I'm getting. And I'm not saying you can't have that in London, but for me personally, I don't think I could have it here.
You haven't had your life. Is that what you're saying?
No, I've had it. I've had life here. And but I don't think I could balance the work and the life here because it's so stressful for me.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, you know, I grew up in a city and I grew up with many people on the roads and taking public transport when I was like 7 years old and crossing the street on my own. And it's not that. But for some reason, the pace of the city is just very quick, you know?
Mm-hmm. We'll find a third place where you'll meet people from your nationality stuff. Because I brought one of my best friends who's Portuguese to a little, like, Portuguese, it's called the Portuguese Love Affair Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And she had never found, like, some, like, space to reconnect with her culture in London.
Right.
And there she saw, like, just the people, like, the... They're selling, like, food and little, like, even trinkets from Portugal. And it just warmed her heart so much because, same, she's been, like, struggling with, like, work-life balance and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And just finding that place shows her there's, like, this relaxation spot, you know, where she can be, true to her roots and stuff. So I'm sure we'll find something.
I mean, there are places, and I have been to them. It's really strange for me to, like, walk on the street and see Joe and the Juice and Ole and Steen, because these are, like, so part of, like, the Copenhagen experience for me. Yesterday, I got a cardamom bun for £2 from Ole and Steen, and it was really nice. It was actually pretty good, and I was walking back from uni to my hall, calling my dad at the same time. So I really felt like I was in my little Danish bubble for like 20 minutes. But, also, like, as I mentioned in other episodes, like, I live in a Swedish kind of corner because of the Swedish church, the Swedish embassy, and, like, Swedish cafes and shops are just around where I live. But, yeah, again, this is just, like, a personal opinion. I just don't think I could live here for the long term.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
But I was the same first year when I arrived here. I did not see myself living in London whatsoever. Mm. You know what I mean? I feel like it's the second you meet the right people.
Yeah.
It's like that actually makes you want to stay. But I feel like Olwenstein, there's only people from London that work there. You know what I mean?
No, it's funny because I went in and I was about to say, like, tak, which is thank you in Danish.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I was like, you know, like, I opened the door and I was like, oh my God, like, there's Spendal and there's like, Knapsnegle and, like, all these Danish pastries. And then I saw everything in English and I was like, this is strange, you know? So I was, like, weirded out for a couple of minutes. But, yeah, no, it's incredible how, like, multicultural diverse London is. Like, it's really incredible. Like, just on the street and you just see all the different restaurants or the shops or... Yeah, I live at Edgware Road and it's really, really cool to just see, you know, the
Careful,
mix of...
Careful, don't give your address.
I said close to Edgware Road and close to the Swedish embassy. But yeah, no, it's really cool that London is a place that can be so multicultural.
Right. Yeah. So I want to finish off by encouraging you to watch French
movies
and Indian movies.
Yes.
And also I made a full on playlist of my favorite kind of nostalgic childhood songs from all three countries.
Yeah. We'll add that to the podcast description.
Perfect.
Yeah, thank you so much, Rebecca, for coming today. I hope you enjoyed sharing a bit about yourself and your crisis. And yeah, and for everyone listening, I hope you have a great day.